You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch flying solo here today on the TechCast. My co-host and partner in crime, Mike Brennan, is out on the West Coast visiting a grandbaby. So let's all have a collective aww. Okay, so the pictures were adorable. But we've got a great show for you today. Four terrific guests, including two from my employer, Lawrence Technological University. Where'd that shameless plug bell go? Okay, we got to ring the shameless plug bell because I do have a couple guests from Lawrence Tech. But first, we're going to kick off the show with a longtime guest and frequent guest of the show, Kathleen Norton Schock. Kathleen, how are you today?
I'm great, Matt. How are you doing?
Just great. And you're going to talk about what you usually talk about, which is your two signature activities, the Diva Tech Talk podcast and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. So whatever you'd like to start with, what are some upcoming things at both of those?
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for the opportunity, as always. Diva Tech Talk is doing well. We published our last podcast on November 12th, and that will stay active for at least a month and a half. It was with a very admirable woman I talked about, I think, on our last show, Scarlett Ong, who is relatively young. She migrated from Malaysia on her own to be part of the University of Michigan, where she's done a number of very interesting things. Among them, however, she has founded a company called Peerstachio, and together with some technology partners, has a full-fledged startup underway. She's been lucky enough to get some grant money through TechTown, and it's a really great podcast. So that's been out now just for about a week and a half, and we would ask people to go to divatechtalk.com to get some feeling for what's going on with Scarlett, who was our podcast number 74. The other thing I think I announced relatively recently on your show was that because we were able to go to the Grace Hopper conference this year, lots of new energy has been injected into the Diva Tech Talk podcasts. Grace Hopper is an amazing conference going on for several decades now, and done by, of course, the Anita Borg Institute. And over 22,000 people joined us in Texas in late September, all of whom are focused on the area of women in tech. And so we have a diversity series upcoming. The first person who will be published next week is Monica Bailey, who is the chief diversity officer for a little company called GoDaddy. And most of us know GoDaddy, of course, because it is the grandfather or grandmother of website URLs and sites. So Monica's podcast, which we'll be publishing next week, talks all about her background. She comes out of Microsoft and then some other large companies and went on board with GoDaddy a couple of years ago and talks about setting up a completely egalitarian culture there, not on her own, of course. That is part of the company's philosophy. So one of the things they do is they try and minimize or lower the barriers for people of different ages, stages, races, creeds, and colors, and educational backgrounds to all compete with each other on a level playing field. So she talks quite a bit about that philosophy and some of the practical ways that GoDaddy has been doing that to introduce greater numbers of people of diverse backgrounds, whether it be color or age or sexual orientation or sex, into their culture, into their ecosystem, if you will. Because as she keeps pointing out, using data, it has infinitely strengthened the company. So that will be next week's podcast. And then coming up after that, we will have a whole series of people whose entire entire roles in life are to be, in fact, diversity ambassadors at the C-level in very, very big companies. Besides GoDaddy, we have Zillow, for instance, as one of the companies that we were able to talk to their chief diversity officer, and a number of others. And I'll leave those as a surprise because, of course, we'll be talking next month, I'm sure, about our upcoming 2019 calendar with you all. So very excited about what's going on at Diva Tech Talk. And one of the things I'd like to direct your audience to, besides our website, which is www.divatechtalk.com, where we have this library of 3 years worth of podcasts and blogs celebrating women in tech, we also have a very active Facebook site. We probably publish at least twice a week on our Facebook site. And what we've been trying to do over the period of the last 24 months in particular is not just talk about our own work or work of others who are working in diversity, but we've been trying to put out very, what I would call useful tips for women in particular, because of course that's very much our audience. It's technology-oriented women or men who support them or people who would like to see their daughters or aunts or grandmothers even moving into the tech field. So we put a lot of material out on our Facebook site, which can be found if you are a Facebook devotee. All you have to do is type in Diva Tech, T-E-C-H, Talk, and you will find us. So as an example, over the last 35 to 45 days, we've had articles there on the value of mentoring, how to find a mentor, how to find a sponsor, and data around how that has helped a lot of women build their careers. We have 2 separate articles on avoiding burnout, and very specifically, we have an article on millennials trying to avoid burnout because we've interviewed a bunch of millennials, and of course, we have quite a few in our audience. And there is a real danger in the millennial generation right now of burnout because of a variety of pressures. We have several on building confidence. One of the common themes we've had among many of our podcastees is that women by nature or by acculturation or for whatever reason often talk about the fact that they had to overcome the fact that they weren't perfect at everything before they would undertake a challenge. And that is directly diametrically opposed, as my friend Terry Barkley from Inform will tell people over and over based on all the research she's been doing over the last decade, that predilection to needing to be perfect is something that often works against you when you are trying to get to the next level of doing something great in the world. So we have a number of articles there on building confidence. We have some of the biggest researchers in the world. We've been taking their studies like McKinsey or Deloitte or PwC. And they all do longitudinal studies and annual studies on women in leadership, women either at the C level or the board level. So over the last 45 days, because we're in the fourth quarter of the year, all 3 of those think tanks and research, great big repositories of research, have put out some interesting studies, and we've put those there. We put out a great study on salary negotiation because, of course, women still only make about 80 cents on the dollar against the male employees. And if you're a woman of color or a Latina woman, it's even less. So we put out a couple of good articles on how to best negotiate salary and an article from Fortune on the 100 best workplaces for women, including such things as flexible ways of dealing with life, whether that be virtual officing or flexible schedules or job sharing. And then there's another great article on highlighting 100 women of power of, again, all ages and stages, and what it really means to be a person of power and what you do with that power. So I would suggest that besides going to divatechtalk.com, your audience, Matt, think about going to Facebook and looking for the Diva Tech Talk Facebook page, where, again, we try and be of ultimate value to our audience. So now I'm going to switch, talking about being of ultimate value to our audience, to my favorite philanthropy, which is the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. And I really just have a few announcements about MCWT. First of all, we just completed our Black and White Ball, which is our major gala fundraiser of the year. We made about $400,000. I'm actually averaging that up a little bit, but that's a little bit more than previous years. And all of that money, of course, goes to our programs to support women and girls, and in particular girls, starting from pre-K all the way up through college level, with a variety of programs that we've developed over a 16-year period of time. So one of the programs we do for women who are already in full swing in their career is a networking program called ConnectNet. And ConnectNet is usually once a month we do some kind of a networking event, sometimes with a speaker and sometimes not. The very last one of this year will be December 10th at Microsoft in downtown Detroit, and it is open to both members and non-members. If you're a non-member, there's a nominal fee, and if you're a member, you don't have to pay anything at all to come and join us the evening of the 10th. For some hors d'oeuvres, some light beverages, and a great and unique opportunity to network with other women in the field of technology, all the way from the C-level down to people who may just have joined the field. But a really good opportunity on December 10th. And because it is the month of December, it'll probably be a pretty festive occasion as well. Then we have a number of programs we have some deadlines on that I wanted to talk about. One is our robotics grants. We participate very actively and have for many, many years in the RoboFest that is usually held at Lawrence Tech. And we will be giving $500 grants, a whole number of them, to various teams who would like to participate. You can go to our website, www.mcwt.org. Go to our middle school programs and high school programs. There's a separate tab for that. And once you hit that tab, the very first program there will describe what we're doing in terms of the robotics grants. There's a whole bunch of programs for middle and high school girls, but it's right there. And you can hit the little tab and apply for a grant if you're interested in robotics. And then annually, of course, we've given away about $1.25 million worth of scholarships over the last 15 years. To women on the university level, and we're going to do it again. We give away probably about 20 to 25,000 new scholarships every year, and then we continue them each succeeding year as the person maintains her GPA. So our scholarship program is up and rolling now, and the deadline for that is January 31st. So again, to find that application, you go to www.mcwt.org. Touch university programs, and it's the very first tab right under the university programs, and it gives all of the rules and why and how people can apply. And I would suggest that people start looking at those applications now. They've been open since the beginning of November, and our experience is that you should probably be putting in your application now, even though the deadline is the 31st of January. Because they've become very popular because, of course, we've promoted them for a while, and a lot of women who've been going to universities in the state of Michigan for technical degrees have benefited from this promotion. And I think that's about it for MCWT right now, Matt, except our last and final thing is we also always do a middle and high school girls website competition. That has been underway since September 1st. And the very last judging of that, because it is in many stages, so you can no longer apply. But if you'd like to come and be with us when we do the final announcements of our winners, that will be January 12th of 2019. So that's coming up not too far away, away as well.
Yeah, and what's the time and location on that? That really is a fun event to see these girls presenting.
It's all day on January 12th. But right now, I'm not sure. We have a TBD under the under the venue. So I don't know if we're looking for a bigger space than we've used in the past, or if one of our other sponsors will be doing it. The last few years we were at a sponsor's location, and I think we may be moving it. In any case, it'll be somewhere in Southeast Michigan.
Okay. And once again, why don't you give the contact information for both of these programs, for Diva Tech Talk and all of the various programs you mentioned at MCWT?
Okay. So for Diva Tech Talk, two separate places. Please go to our website at www.diva, D-I-V-A, tech, T T-E-C-H, talk, T-A-L-K.com, to hear our latest podcasts. And again, if you're a Facebook devotee, simply type in Diva Tech Talk, and that'll take you to our Facebook sites. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, etc. But really, it's Facebook where we're putting a lot of our best advice. And then for MCWT, it's www.mcwt.org. And I've already, throughout my conversation here, given the various places you want to go for the various programs. All righty?
All right. Thanks very much, Kathleen Norton-Schock of the Michigan Council of Women in Technology and Diva Tech Talk, an outstanding podcast. If you're not listening to this one, you might as well listen to that one at the right in succession. One
and
after
ours,
the is other.
On, ours are on demand.
Okay. Sounds good, Kathleen. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Matt.
And we'll be right back with another.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. We'll be back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast after this word.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch, and we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. Mike Brennan is off today visiting a grandchild. Isn't that nice? Our next guest is with us here in the studio live, and she is the proprietor of a fine website called BuyMichiganNow.com. Lisa Diggs, welcome.
Hi, Matt.
Hi. Well, we want to talk today about your holiday gift guide. It is this show is being recorded on Cyber Monday, and so there couldn't be a better time to talk about someplace to buy stuff online and support Michigan businesses while doing so. So tell us a little bit about the holiday gift guide.
So we do this gift guide every year, and this year we have 20 different categories and 8 items in each category, so 160 different items for people to look at, and you can find something for your cat or something for your grandma, mm-hmm. and just about everybody in between.
Okay, so how do you find the companies for this? Do people come to you? Do you go to them? Do you look around? I mean, how does this work?
It's a combination of all of those things. First of all, we have the Buy Michigan Now campaign, as you know, runs year-round. So we have businesses that are members of our campaign. We look to them first to see what they have that might make a great gift item. We start asking people in about August for their suggestions, and we get a lot of suggestions that come from companies and a lot that just come from people that say, I love this, I'm giving this, I think it's a good idea for other people to give. And then I spend a lot of time in stores and online and events, and we do, you know, a couple of festivals during the year. We look during that period of time, and you just sort of make notes of things all throughout the year that you think would be unique and different or something you haven't had before.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite things that I found on there was the Michigan gift baskets. I had an experience, gosh, this was probably 20 years ago now, where I was at a fireworks display on Lake Michigan. For some reason, I took my wallet out of my pocket and put it on my car. And I drove off with the wallet on top of the car. So, of course, it fell off. And somebody found it in a parking lot and actually contacted me and said, I've got your wallet, and mailed it back to me.
Well.
Yeah. And the money was even still in it and everything. So I wanted to do something for this guy. And I went looking for a Michigan gift basket, and I couldn't find anything. So tell me a little bit, how do you curate the gift baskets?
Yeah, there's a lot of great companies that are doing that now. So what we looked for in that particular category was variety and price point. You know, some people want to spend $150 on a gift basket. Other people are looking to spend $25. So we tried to give some options. And you'll find with all of the companies, so when people click on an item in the gift guide, it takes you to that company's website to make the purchase. We don't sell any of it ourselves. We're trying to give this money to the companies that make it or provide the service. But when you click on it, you'll find that we picked one but all of those companies have a whole other variety. So you can find some that are specific to an area, like you can find gift baskets that are all items from Traverse City or Northern Michigan area. You can find some that are all Detroit. Or like I said, it could be, we do one that's a, I think we've got a breakfast basket in there this year. We've got something that's all about blueberries this year.
Yeah. Okay. And I noticed there's a fair amount of apparel too.
There is, you know, it's a challenging thing. People always ask, you know, what do you consider to be made in Michigan? For us, when it comes to apparel, if it is at least designed here, and if it's a t-shirt that's printed here,
yeah.
That is because, you know, we're just really not making yet, although we're growing our garment district. We're not making all of those things yet. All the way. So that's as close as it can come. But yeah, there's some really cool designs out there.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's interesting going on in Lansing right now, I know, is this fashion incubator in the old department store in downtown Lansing. I haven't heard lately how that's going.
Yeah, though. They've been doing that for a while. And actually, I think some of the more exciting stuff right now is happening in Detroit. You know, when they had the homecoming event where all the expats came to town that Cranes does each year, they made fashion a major topic as part of that event. And there's a lot of stuff happening to grow our fashion industry.
Yeah, I know. And Lawrence Tech, to plug my employer again, but they have something that they do in connection with the auto show called the Main Event. That's a design competition for our students, sponsored by, you know, a whole bunch of companies in the car business. And what they do at the end of that, it's a design, a celebration of not just cars, but also fashion. And at the end of the thing, they have a runway style fashion show by a bunch of Detroit designers, and there's some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff, and what's exciting is some of the companies are starting to actually make it here. It's at least cut and sewn here. It's, you know, it's different levels of, we're getting closer and closer to the point where we're really, you know, we're not going to be a state that grows cotton.
Yeah.
Unless global warming really scares us all.
Yeah,
even
right.
More than it already does.
Yeah.
But to the point where we can, you know, pick out the fabric and then cut and sew it here and assemble it here and all those kinds of things. We're getting to that level, especially in the Detroit area, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I must admit, one of my favorite sections is for the bartender. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, all right.
So, yeah, I mean, we've got some specific items in there, but I mean, if you're in the state of Michigan, you cannot go wrong giving craft beer. You cannot go wrong giving, we're making some phenomenal whiskeys now, and
yeah,
vodkas, and the spirit industry has really grown. We're at the point now, you know, whiskey takes a little while to age, so we're finally at the point that some of these companies that started a while ago have aged it long enough to start serving it up, which is,
yeah, they
fun.
Start with vodka because that's consumed immediately after distilling, and
right.
And some brandies also,
yep.
But
and some gin, and
yeah, but,
and,
but it's got to be aged at least 4 years before you can call it bourbon. So you
yeah,
be
so
it,
we're
yeah.
getting to that point now that some of them are producing blends to still be in the market,
mm-hmm.
But we're really starting to have some exciting. We picked one that was actually one of the spirits of the year that's in the gift guide this year, which is a blend. But there's an amazing amount of, and I didn't even mention wine. I mean, certainly.
Yeah, we've had good wine in this state for 30 years.
We
so that's,
have.
Yeah.
We have. And now we're having, a lot of times people think it's only the whites, but now we're making some really quality red wines as well, which is really cool.
And that's interesting because we don't really have the climate for it. Is it, are we growing the grapes here too? Or it's okay if it's made here, I guess, right? It's sort of like the clothing. If the grapes come from California, but the wine's, you know, the winemaker is here.
Well, we try to put an emphasis on the ones where the grapes are actually grown here too. There is a combination, but a lot of the wineries are able to do it. And one, we grow Cab Franc very well.
Okay.
That's a grape we grow well. And so certainly, you know, Cab Franc is a great red wine. I mean, there's depends on the bottle, but overall, I mean,
right.
that's an area where it can be really good and that classic red wine drinkers like.
Okay. Let's talk about the kids section a little bit. I know you've got some toys and games, that kind of thing.
Yeah, toys and games, we always look for some unique. There's a company called Construct-A-Truck, which makes wooden models of there's trucks. They're actually modeled after some of the old cars that we used to make, but they even have a train, all kinds of things. This year we picked one that's a bank, which I think is an awesome idea. So you get this kit, you give it, grandpa gives it, or grandma, or the parents, you give the kid the kit, you make the kit together, and you get to talk about saving money while you're doing it. I mean, you're having fun making this car, but it actually turns into a bank when it's done. You can put dimes into the wheels to make it look like spinners. So it's stylish, it's fun, and you get to have a good message that maybe they're saving toward buying a bigger car someday with their own money.
Yeah, a real car. Okay.
Exactly.
And you can't go wrong giving food either. I know you've got a lot of great food products. Talk
we
about
have
that a
lot of great food products. You can't go wrong giving food. And actually, if you look at our gift guide on the Sanders product, you'll find a discount code that's only for fans of our site. So check that out. But yeah, we do some of the familiar. I mean, you can send a Coney kit. Which a lot of people don't realize. If you've got family out of state, there's almost nothing better than sending a taste of home.
Sure.
I mean, the apparel is great, too, so they can wear something year-round that shows their pride. But, boy, a taste of home is – and so, you know, I've got friends that have sent the Coney kit out to California to people that, you know, grew up going to the Coney on the corner and can't get it out there.
Yeah. That's one thing my son really missed when he lived in Minnesota for a while, is there is no such thing as a Coney Island in Minnesota. There's a reasonably – he lives in upstate New York at the moment, and there's a reasonably close approximation in New York, but but it's still not quite the same.
It's not quite the same. It's something we are so well known for. And then, of course, cherries. We do some cherry products each year.
Yep.
We make phenomenal chocolate, so you got to have fudge on there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're Michigan. You can't not have fudge on there.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Buy Michigan Now overall. Let's talk about the background of this. I noticed you've got a 10th anniversary logo up on the website.
We do. And actually, we're getting ready to pull it down because we just celebrated 11. So we've had that up for the year. We're pulling that down. And yeah, it's been 11 years. It originally started in 2007. And you can remember, I think most of us can remember how incredibly atrocious the economy was then.
Yeah, it was bleak. Very bleak.
It was very bleak, although we've had some not so great news today with GM. So I think it's more important than ever that we made a lot of great progress, and we got to keep our eye on the ball about where our dollars are going. You know, talking about specifically even the holiday season, the average American spends $900 on holiday gifts.
That sounds about right.
So some of us will spend less, some of us will spend more. But if you think about that, I recognize that if your kid is in love with some video game that they have to have and you want to be the hero that gets that for them, we get that, right? And it wasn't made here. But if you look at the entire spectrum of gifts that you're going to buy, our challenge would be make one or two of them Michigan made.
Yeah.
And if we all did that, we can make a huge economic impact.
Yeah, I remember you saying that in the very beginning. If you know, we just bought, you know, like 10% of our holiday spending, if we redirected that to Michigan made products, well, you get, you know, 4 million households doing that. That's a huge chunk of change.
It's a huge chunk of change. And then on a regular basis, the statistic we use all the time for consumers is if you shift $10, if every household shifted $10 of our weekly expenses to Michigan-made products collectively, we would put $38 million a week into the local economy, which is $1.9 billion a year.
Hmm. That's significant.
It's staggering when you think about it.
That'll create a lot of jobs, right?
Yeah, so that's an industry. Yeah. I mean, we talk about trying to recruit new things to come. What if we just invest in the industries that we have?
Yeah.
So just want to make people think about where their dollars are going.
So what did the site grow out of? What's your background that led you to do this?
I'm a consultant. The site grew out of my job was to travel around the country helping businesses grow. And I realized I'm helping all these other economies grow. And every time I came home, it was a little bit worse here and a little bit worse here. And when things get that bad, consultants are the last thing that companies hire, even though they should, because they're cutting corners everywhere.
Sure.
So looked for a way to start to give it away and give some advice away and recommendations away. And I personally realized I wasn't necessarily paying that much attention to where my dollars were going either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did some investigating on my own as to what companies were Michigan based and then put it on a website, and it took off from there.
So how many companies are on the site now?
We've got about 3,000 that are part of the site now.
Wow.
And anybody can come and join. And it's across the board. We've talked a lot about consumer today, but tech companies are, you know, another piece of it. We've got, you know, room for every different type of business. We do a lot of business to business connections.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do have a B2B section there as well.
We do.
And what's it cost to put your stuff up on buymichigannow.com?
There's on the low end, you can come in at no cost at all just to be in the directory. But to become a member of the campaign, it's $200 a year, but we're dropping that to $100 if you're a single location business starting in 2019.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. Lisa Diggs from buymichigannow.com. It is the website to go to if you want to buy stuff made in Michigan and processed in Michigan and support the Michigan economy. And they've got a terrific holiday gift guide. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay. We'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast in just a moment.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more.
At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hi there, it's Matt Rausch. I'm flying solo here today on the M Squared TechCast. Mike Brennan, my partner, will be with us again next week. For right now, though, it's just me here in the studio with Jessica, and I'm sorry, have no Jessica Cam, but we continue to work on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's going to happen. All right. Our next guest is someone who's very familiar to anyone connected with my employer, Lawrence Technological University. Going to ring the shameless plug bell there. This segment is going to be all about LTU and its fantastic Marburger STEM Center. And so please welcome to the show the executive director of the Marburger STEM Center, Sabrina Collins. Sabrina, welcome.
Thank you for having me again, Matt.
Okay. Listen, I wanted to talk to you, but let's back up a little bit and just have you talk about what the Marburger STEM Center is, why Lawrence Tech has such a thing, and what is it?
Well, basically, the Marburger STEM Center sits on the beautiful campus of Lawrence Technological University, and it's essentially the clearinghouse of all of the STEM activities on campus, so science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And so this includes our summer camps led by our faculty, specifically targeting high school students. Registration for the summer camps ends June 1st of 2019. RoboFest is another initiative led by Professor C.J. Chung to teach young people how to program autonomous robots. The Blue Devil Promise program, which is really a partnership with not only the Detroit Public Schools, but also Southfield Public Schools to enhance the STEM curriculum in these institutions. And also Extreme Science Saturdays, which is another program led by our faculty to tap into those wonderful high school students.
All right. So one of the upcoming events, you've got an Extreme Science Saturday coming up this very Saturday, December 1st. Let's talk about that a little bit. It involves a rather interesting project and paper that you co-authored with another Lawrence Tech faculty member, Lavetta Appleby, about the miracle element vibranium from the movie Black Panther.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you're exactly right. So we developed this activity for this Saturday, where students will not only discuss where they think the fictional element of vibranium should be placed on the periodic table, but play the role of chemists and prepare some really colorful solutions. So we're not playing with vibranium in the lab, but
which is cobalt, probably a good idea given its properties in the movie. So
exactly. So we're playing with cobalt, which is one metal on the periodic table, and also copper as well. And I chose copper because copper actually, in solution, it exists kind of as a bluish purple type color, which is somewhat similar to the element in the actual movie. But a key goal for us is making sure that students understand why chemistry is so important, such as, you know, antibiotics, batteries, water treatment, plastics, you name it. Chemists have played a role in that. But in addition to that, 2019 will mark 150 years since Dmitry Mendeleev, who was a Russian chemist, actually published his periodic table. So 2019 is the year of the periodic table.
Hmm. Interesting. Talk a little bit about the Extreme Science Saturdays, if you could. If people want to sign up for that, if that sounds interesting to them, where do they go?
Absolutely. So basically, you would go to the LTU website. You can go to our website, the Marburger STEM Center, or when you go to the LTU website, ltu.edu, you can search for the Marburger STEM Center, and there is a link specifically for Extreme Science Saturdays. So you can register online for this program.
Okay, and I just tell folks that Marburger is spelled Marburger, and that is it's named after a much beloved former president of Lawrence Tech who is still going strong at age 90, Richard Marburger, who is president emeritus of Lawrence Tech.
Absolutely. He is an important advisor for me.
Okay. So where'd you get the idea to do this paper on vibranium? Where did this come from? Just something popped into your head one day, or what was the origin of this?
Well, basically, I was watching the movie with two of my cousins, and since I am a chemist, I can't shut off my chemistry brain. And so I basically said, okay, if this element really existed, where would it be at the periodic table? And that's, you know, when you have an idea or a question that pops in your head, you can think, you just have to do something with that information. And so basically that's where it started from. It was an idea, and Lavetta decided, Professor Appleby decided to play along, and we ended up submitting the manuscript to the Journal of Chemical Education, and the reviewers loved it. And, you know, here we are still talking about vibranium.
Yep. Yeah, that was published in the Journal of Chemical Education. It was over the summer, I believe, right?
Right. It was actually published online in June.
Okay. Yep. And it's gotten an awful lot of publicity because people really, you know, liked the idea, and they had a lot of fun with it because the movie was so much fun, for one thing. I wanted to talk to you also about a partnership with Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church in Detroit to host a national first. Why don't we talk about that for a minute?
Sure. So it's this is Lawrence Tech is partnering with Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church in Detroit to host the nation's first youth business pitch competition. And so this is actually a collaboration with the STEM Center, Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, and also LTU Collaboratory, which is now the Centropolis Accelerator. And basically, the idea is that up to 10 churches, faith-based institutions, will have a high school team, and they will actually these teams will actually pitch some sort of business in a Shark Tank style type of competition. And the thing about it, when you talk about churches or faith-based organizations, many of these organizations have a youth ministry. So this is just a creative way of trying to tap into to youth, you know, using you know, with LTU. So we're really excited about it. So essentially, establishing, let's say, an entrepreneurship ministry at a church, or a STEM ministry, or engineering ministry, or any ministry that you can think of. You know, many of these churches have these youth ministries, and we're just tapping into that.
Okay. So how did you select the churches?
Well, basically, that's a great question. So Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church is actually a partner with Samson Weber Leadership Academy, which is a DPS school, and that's one of our partners. So it just made a natural, you know, it was a natural connection to work with Tabernacle. And so Tabernacle, with their connections, actually have identified 9 other churches. And so this is a pilot competition. We're really excited about it, with the possibility of, you know, being able to reach more churches and actually being a pilot for other cities, you know, across the country.
Okay. And basically, when are you planning on holding this thing?
Well, basically, beginning in February at Tabernacle. So there are going to be a series of workshops led by two of our faculty, particularly Dr. Matt Cole and also Dr. Jackie Stavros, who are faculty in the College of Business and Information Technology. So they're going to lead workshops focused on entrepreneurship, business, those kinds of things. And it's actually based on the summer camp that the College of Business and Information Technology actually holds every year, really for the past couple of years. So we're using that model. And so for 4 Saturdays in March, and then the actual pitch competition will be held on Lawrence Tech's campus on March the 7th.
March the 7th. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have that on my calendar. Now, let's talk about those summer camps a little bit, because this is the time of year. You know, it's almost the holiday season, and when I had kids in high school, I was always pestering them that they needed to figure out what they were going to do in the summer over Christmas break. That was the best time to do it, whether it be, you know, looking for a job or other things. So talk about what kind of summer camps we offer. I know there's more than 30 now. I think there might be more than 40. Set me straight on that.
Yeah, so it's about 30 summer camps, and the wonderful thing about these summer camps is that each one of our LTU colleges has a summer camp. So, for example, the College of Business and Information Technology, they have the Shark Tank Entrepreneurship Camp, Learn How to Build a Business. We also have, for example, in the Department of Humanities and Social Sciences and Communication, they have a science fiction writing and film workshop, which sounds pretty cool. We always have the automotive engineering summer camps, leadership in action, biomedical engineering, which I think always is the first one to go because it's so exciting to students. So anything you can think of, graphic design studio, industrial design, molecules and medicine, psychology, we have it right here on campus.
Yeah, I sat in on one of the molecules and medicine camps over the summer, and it was interesting. They were doing steam distillation of cloves, and you can distill a topical anesthetic out of cloves. And
right.
I didn't know that, but you know, you put some on your lip, and your lip goes numb. It's it was kind of freaky that would come out of cloves, but it's an entirely natural product, and you just sort of boil the cloves and distill the steam, and that turns into a liquid that's got a topical anesthetic on it.
Absolutely.
Yep. So if people want more information, I suppose they should either just Google Lawrence Tech Summer Camps or go to the university website and look at programs for future students. I'm sure there's a button for that.
Absolutely. But the website is www.ltu.edu/summercamps.
And I'm assuming also people can still get in on RoboFest, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And RoboFest, they are currently going. They're having these workshops here on campus, so they can absolutely get involved with RoboFest. And again, going to our website, you can do a little search of RoboFest, and all the information is right there.
Yep. And let me be the salesman on this one. To me, what's interesting about RoboFest as opposed to other robotics competition is that the prices are low enough that virtually anyone can get in on this. And not only that, but there are robot scholarships available in case you can't afford the robot kit. But for RoboFest, the entry fee is only $50. The robot kit's only about $300. And it's virtually unlimited what you can do with that robot. There is a game that they do every year that you have to follow a bunch of rules in order to play the game. But there's also an exhibition category where you think up the task that you think a robot should do, and then you build a robot to do that task. So it's really limited only by your imagination.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you're absolutely right. It's because of the lower cost, it's certainly much more affordable.
Yep. And there are always a few robot kits that are donated by sponsors, just in case someone can't, you know, put together the money for the robot kit. We want everyone who wants to participate to be able to participate. And one other good thing about it is that the robots are also completely autonomous. So the kids learn not only about building robots and strategy and whatnot, but they also learn computer coding. And that's where it's at these days.
Exactly, exactly. You know, so that's an important skill that's attractive to employers.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, from what I know, anyone who wants a coding job now, a programming job, anyone who wants a job can have three, from what I talk to people in the tech world.
Absolutely. And what's really important about RoboFest, another thing that's important, because now you see the national dialogue focused on autonomous vehicles. This is now reality,
yep.
Right? And so this is really important. It's really applying some concepts to some real-world applications.
All right. Well, we've got about a minute left, so Dr. Collins, please tell people how to reach you one more time.
So you can reach me at the LTU Marburger STEM Center. Simply go to the LTU website, search for Marburger STEM Center, and I can be reached at scollins@ltu.edu.
All right. Thank you. Sabrina Collins, Dr. Sabrina Collins, Director of the Marburger STEM Center at Lawrence Technological University. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll be right back with another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch, and you're listening at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch, and you're listening to the M Squared TechCast. My co-host and partner in crime, Mike Brennan, is off today. He is visiting a new grandbaby, and isn't that sweet? Mike's a grandpa. Yeah, that's very nice. I'd like to welcome Lee Gaddis to the show of Gaddis Gaming. He is a client of the Centropolis Accelerator, the new business accelerator at Lawrence Technological University, my employer. So, Lee, tell us a little bit about Gaddis Gaming. When did you found this company, and what products do you offer?
Gaddis Gaming was founded in 2014. We had a solution to a problem that a lot of our local gaming community had, which was not having the right size surface in which to play on. Most games that we play, you need either a 4x4 surface or a 4x6 surface if you're doing tournament wargaming. And most people's dining room tables, kitchen tables, and other tables didn't really come in that diameter. So we created a product called the Gaddis Gaming Table Topper that would allow you to take any surface and create that dimension to play on.
Okay, and you're still making that product now?
Yeah. We patented the design. We went on a Kickstarter. It was an idea. We made a couple for we made one for ourselves, and we took it out to a local game store, and our friend Herb said, "Hey, me and my son, man, we could really use that, you know, playing." So we gifted it to him, and then he told two friends, and they told two friends, and before you know it, we're making like 10 a month. And I'm like, well, if there's this kind of demand, I think there might be a business model. So we went on Kickstarter and said, hey, we have this idea about making this product. If you guys are willing to help us fund the R&D for it, we'll, you know, give you something in exchange for it. And this was in the early days of Kickstarter. And we raised about $5,000 just to explore the idea. And then from that, we developed it into, you know, a full-fledged product that we put on the internet. And immediately I went from making like 3 to making 127. And then that's when I said, I think we have a business here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really start taking this seriously. But people from Australia, Portugal, Taiwan, Denmark, Norway, Germany, all over were just asking for it, you know, asking us to send it to them. And we were like, well, now we're an international business, you know, and so the process of scaling up became an issue for us, you know, as a small local manufacturer. And everybody said, oh, well, go to China. And we're like, well, we're not going to China. We are dedicated to creating jobs here in Michigan because people, you know, in Detroit need work, people in Michigan need work. And we try to support our local companies, you know, as much as we can, you know, when it comes to that kind of,
All right. So what had been your, what did you do for a living before Gaddis Gaming? I take it you were just a sort of a gamer as a as a hobby.
Yeah,
you know,
gaming was a hobby. Yeah, it was a hobby. Yeah, so it went from a hobby business into a business business. I'm a commercial artist by training.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, illustration and design. You know, I was a cartoonist illustrator, it ended up my hobby kind of took over my business life, and game design was something I had been doing casually. It wasn't something I wanted to pursue as a career. You know, it was something I was doing for leisure. But then I had an opportunity to do an after school program as a mentor. And then I realized that the kids that I was teaching, they had really no connection to like history. And it was like a Veterans Day. And I asked them, like, well, who in your family served in the service? And nobody could name anybody that they knew that served. And I was like, okay, so if I give them a history book, you know, they're not going to read it, right? It's just mm-hmm. a big, you know, paperweight sitting on the table. But if I create a game around it, which, you know, allowed me to reach them in a way that I couldn't just, you know, through regular academia. So it became edutainment. Because I grew up with a lot of World War II veterans, you know, living around me, Tuskegee Airmen, one of my mentors, Mr. White, served in the Marines. He was an Amtrak driver. My grandfather served in the 761st Tank Battalion under Patton in World War II. So, you know, these are the types of influence that I had growing up. And I realized that this next generation that I was teaching, they didn't have that kind of influence or contact with people across generational lines. So we developed a game system that allowed them to play the game. But in order to do that, they had to go and talk to somebody that served in the service. So, you know, I talked to their grandparents, their great-grandparents, you know, aunts and uncles, you know, they were able to bring back stories about, you know, their time in the service and where they served it. And so we created the game around that story, around that narrative. So to enrich the game for themselves, they had to have these cross-generational conversations. And then the game system developed for that. And then we were able to market that at conventions, and you know that became very popular. That became the General Assembly Universal Rules Data System. It was a generic rule system, so any era you can play in, you can play in. Because one kid said that his great-grandfather was a Buffalo soldier, his great-grandfather served in World War One, his grandfather served in World War Two, his dad served in Desert Storm. So you had all of these, you know, five generations of people serving in the service that didn't know about until we started doing this exercise in the after school program. And so we developed the miniatures line, particularly since this was the 100th anniversary of World War One. We did the Harlem Hellfighters, who had never in 100 years had a game made around them. So we developed the line of miniatures and the game and the rules so people could play out themselves. And another thing that we saw that was missing in the gaming environment was, people of color and women, you know, they were being underrepresented in that gaming environment. So we decided to cater to that niche market and be able to bring a product line so that everybody felt welcomed at the gaming table, right? So you could play yourself or somebody like you on the gaming table. And that was one of the things that we did in 2016 when we launched the miniatures line.
All right.
For Gaddis Games.
So how has the LTU Centropolis Accelerator supported your company?
Okay, well, so we went from analog to digital. So we see the future of gaming is going to be an AR environment, an alter reality environment, where you can take the analog products that you have and then enhance them mm-hmm. through virtual reality. So there's a couple of products that we're developing with LTU around AR peripherals and interactive software that allows you to project a virtual environment onto the next version of the Gaddis Gaming Tabletopper that will take the physical objects and then enhance them. So you will have a physical tank, but then when you look through either your cell phone or your tablet or AR goggles, you will be able to see muzzle flashes. You will be able to see tank tracks. You will be able to see smoke. You know, you'll be able to interact with the environment with you and the person that you're playing with. That in a whole nother immersive way, you know, rather than just the static historical analog way of moving miniatures across the table, you know, you'll be able to be immersed in an environment on that tabletop.
All right.
And
so
LTU is writing the software and giving us help with the expertise to bring that product to market.
Yeah. So I understand you're working with Lawrence Tech faculty and students on this idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the students are really excited about it, you know, because they're able to see a product that's not just an academic theory, but something that can be put, you know, into the world, you know, in real time. So working with the faculty and staff there, that allows us to have an endless source of creativity, because young people have a lot of creativity and energy, right? You want that energy, that dynamism around that, and the faculty bringing the expertise and the connections that we have with Dan Radowski and Matt and Mars and all the guys down there, and also to be able to link a lot of the different departments that may not be able to interact as much.
Mm-hmm.
So the animation department, the game design department, the robotics, computer software department, you know, having all those departments interact, you know, to focus different expertise onto this new product that we're going to bring to market.
All right. So you recently also received a local foundation grant. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah. So we are committed, number one, to staying here, you know, manufacturing here. You know, that's one of our core components of our company, is that we're going to stay in Michigan and we're going to create jobs here and we're going to develop our talent and workforce here. So through that, we applied for the Any Ideas grant about, you know, building communities, businesses, right? You know, as the brick and mortars get taken off by, you know, online retailers, you know, how do you develop businesses that, you know, people can walk to in a community? So for us, we decided to build community wealth through a community-based enterprise where everybody that works for Gaddis Gaming, as we grow, will be, you know, shareholders in the company, will be, you know, stockholders. This is built on the Mondragon model in Spain. And so we put that proposal up to Any Ideas, and they thought it was a good idea, and they gave us a grant to help develop it. And we'll use that money to move the collaboratory part of our business into, you know, our phase three tabletopper, into you know, to bring it into being, because right now it's all on paper.
All right. So what are your future plans for the business overall?
Our future plans is to continue to scale up. You know, it went from making things in my garage and basement. Now we have to have a facility, you know, with a hydraulic cutter and, you know, CNC machines and all that type of stuff. So our future plans are to grow, bring on more employees, bring on more talent. So it'll be the products line that we have right now are the Gaddis Gaming Tabletopper, which is patented and trademarked. We have our World War II and World War I miniatures line, and we'll move it to sci-fi from there. And we also have our rule sets, which will continue to develop, you know, into the future. So we have about 5 years worth of product in the pipeline, you know, that'll keeping us pretty busy, you know. So we're launching one new product every year for the next 7 years.
Wow. Okay, folks, you can keep track of all this at GaddisGaming.com. That's G-A-D-D-I-S gaming.com. Want to thank Lee Gaddis for being with us here today on the M Squared TechCast. Want to thank Lee and all of our other guests. Sabrina Collins, director of the Marburger STEM Center at Lawrence Technological University. Lisa Diggs of BuyMichiganNow.com. And we started off the show with Kathleen Norton-Schock, our regular guest for the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, and her podcast about women in tech, Diva Tech Talk. So I'll be back again next week with my co-host, Mike Brennan. We air this show live at PodcastDetroit.com at 2 p.m. Eastern Time every Monday. But you can listen anytime wherever fine podcasts are distributed. Until next week, this is Matt Rausch on behalf of Mike Brennan, and you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.